If you guys turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 4:9. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Let's pray. Dear Father God, I thank you for this wonderful day. God, I thank you for everything you do for us. I pray that you be with me as I preach this sermon. You give me a clear mind, God, and I pray that you'd help me to deliver the message that you put on my heart, God, and I pray that you would help me to say exactly what you want me to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of my sermon is Why Danielle Bregoli Should Be Stoned with Stones. Why Danielle Bregoli Should Be Stoned with Stones. And I know that the title of this sermon is not a very nice one. It's not a very loving one, I guess is what people would say. But you know what? It is a loving sermon that I'm about to preach, but how people perceive love nowadays is not how love really is. And so with that, I'm going to begin to tell you a little bit of the story about this girl, if you don't know who she is. Just some background, okay? It says Danielle Marie Bregoli was born March 26, 2003, and is an American rapper and social media personality, probably 15-year-old girl now. She became known from a viral video and meme with her phrase, "Catch me outside, how about that," after appearing on an episode of Dr. Phil in 2016. It says she was born, I already told you that, her parents, Ira Pekowitz and Barbara Ann Bregoli, dated for a year before Bregoli's mother became pregnant, later breaking up when she was an infant. Bregoli was raised primarily by her mother and is estranged from her father, a deputy who works in Palm Beach, in the Palm Beach Police Department. Which, by the way, he's trying to get her back now that she is, you know, worth a lot of money. He's trying to get custody of his daughter. Imagine that. But so this 13-year-old girl was invited on the Dr. Phil show because her mom basically said, "I can't handle her anymore. I can't deal with this kid anymore. She's too rebellious. She's too crazy. I can't reason with her at all anymore." So she brings her on the Dr. Phil show so that he can give some of his worldly wisdom and save the day, okay? In his spank-free way. That's what Dr. Phil believes. He doesn't think you should spank your children. Because, you know, the best thing for a child when they're rebelling against their mom is to bring them on national television, okay? That's the best thing that you can do for them. But during the show, the audience, you know, they were laughing at her because she speaks like she's from the hood or something like that. You can't even understand what she's saying. Her whole "catch me outside, how about that?" That's how she says it. She says it like she was raised in the hood and she wasn't. She just tries to act like them. But anyways, you could barely understand her the whole time, and the audience is laughing at her. And basically, her mom, she says some vile things to the audience, and her mom says, you know, "Knock it off, you know, don't talk to him like that." So she gets up on the Dr. Phil show and tries to fight her mom on national television. She gets right in her face. You know, she tries to fight her, and they tell her to sit down in her seat. That's the kind of girl that we're dealing with right now. But before the show ever even started, they had like an interview before the show because she didn't end up hitting her on the show. And during the interview, they asked her some questions. And these are some of her quotes that she gives. She said, "I have to dodge her because if she hits me, I'm going to give it to her." Imagine that in a hood voice. I can't do it, though. Yeah. And she said, "I'm pretty violent. I punched her in the face because she wouldn't get out of my face." You know, that sounds like a really loving girl, a really great girl. But, you know, and then she's saying all this the whole time. She's laughing and smirking. She has no sorrow, no shame. She's just totally fine. "Yeah, I punched my mom in the face. Who cares, you know?" You know, and then she goes on to say how she stole her mom's credit card and bought a stripper pole and she stole her car and she constantly sneaks out, right? So they try to resolve this issue because Dr. Phil doesn't believe in spanking. They send her to a bad girl's ranch, basically, and it shows her riding a horse in the video. I don't know how that helps you. I'd like to go ride a horse, okay? But that's you know, different story. But spoiler alert, that doesn't work because the Bible didn't say to put someone in timeout. The Bible didn't say to ground your kids. It didn't say to send them to a little girl's ranch. It said to beat them with the rod. That's what the Bible says, and that's what her mom should have done. And you see that later on, her mom tries to, you know, fight around with her, but it's too late. You should have done that when you were a child, when she was a child, when she wasn't big enough to fight with you. Okay, that's why it says give the child the rod of correction. But so basically, she gets back from this ranch, and she didn't change at all. She's still the same girl that she was, still the wicked girl. And instead of everyone hating her, instead of anybody shunning her and treating her like a little girl who hits their mom, what companies immediately started doing because she got popular with her little catchphrase is they started having her sponsor their merchandise, and they invited her on their YouTube channel if they're a popular YouTuber or, you know, did things like that. And now when I looked it up on Google, she's worth $1.2 million is what the Bible said. Or not the good night. Is what Google says. Good night. You know, but she's worth $1.2 million. A girl who hit her mom and she was praised for it, basically, given $102 million. And that's what we teach our kids. That's America today. That if you hit your mom, you're going to make $1 million. You know, why not? That's what America's teaching kids today. You know, but she should be worth $0 because she should be dead and stoned with stones is what the Bible says. The Bible says in Exodus 21:15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Not might be put to death. Not, may, you know, whatever it maybe I can forgive. It says they shall surely be put to death is what the Bible says. And I don't care if that offends anybody in this room or anybody in the whole world, because that's what the Bible says. You know, and let this be a warning to every kid in this room that if that thought even crosses your mind, that God says that you're worthy to be stoned with stones. If you actually do commit that act, if you do hit your parents, you know. And a lot of people, for some reason nowadays, they think that this is done away with, that commandment that they should be put to death. But that's not what the Bible says. They try to bring up the woman that committed adultery, but hey, newsflash, that's adultery, not hitting your parents. And second of all, that wasn't even why Jesus didn't have her stone, because the Pharisees were tempting him, if you actually read it. And they didn't bring the guy that they were supposed to bring with to stone him. And Jesus was not, you know, he was a man like, it'd be like if someone brought a sodomite in here, which God forbid that happened. But if someone did and they said, we caught him in the very act of sodomy, what say you? We do, Remy. And I'd say, nothing, because I'm not in charge of putting him to death. That's the government's job. And it's the same situation, you know. But, you know, and if anybody says that this is done away with, they're liars. It's not true. It's not what the Bible says. You know, and then they'll bring up, oh, well, it also says that if a kid curses his parents, they should be put to death. Do you believe that? Huh? Yeah, I do believe that, because that's what the Bible says. And you act like it's crazy, and that God's the one who said it. Like, do you read your Bible anymore? Do you understand what it says? They act like it's a stupid notion, and God Almighty put it in the Bible. It doesn't make any sense. Where do you get that from? Where do you think they done it away, that it's done away? But you know why they think it's done away? Because that's what the Bible colleges teach now. And the Bible colleges teach that it's all love, and there's no punishment, that there's no, you know, that there's nothing that you can do to someone. But the Bible says that if you smite someone, or if a kid smites their parents, they should be put to death. That's what the Bible says, and it was never done away with. And you can never show me a scripture that says that it was done away with. You know, but that's the problem. They don't believe the Bible anymore. They believe what the Bible college says. They don't read their Bible and say, it says they should be put to death. They just say, well, you know, the grace and love and, you know, why? I don't understand. But Deuteronomy, if you want to go there, Deuteronomy 4:8 says, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as this law which I set before you this day? And you know what the law he's talking about? It's talking about the kid that curses their parents should be put to death, okay? It's talking about the kid that hits their parents should be put to death. That's the great law that God gave them. That's the law that's more righteous than any law that's ever been set forth. And that's what God said himself. So if you try to argue with that, you're arguing with God, you know? But they try to argue with God. They try to reason it their own little way. That's not what the Bible says. And by the way, the cursing there is not just talking about cussing at your parents, okay? Because if it, you know, and they try to act like every kid has always cursed their parents. I never cursed my parents. I never wished my parents to die. I never wished any ill upon my parents. You know, who does that? Weird people do that. You know, who hits their parents? Weird people do that. I never hit my parents either. And none of us have ever hit our parents. And I hope nobody in this room hit their parents, okay? But anyways, Deuteronomy 21, there's more. It said, if a man have a stubborn, rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay a hold on him, and bring him unto the elders of the city, and to the gate of this place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. All the men of this city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Which this girl meets two of them, because she hit her mom, and she also is the most rebellious kid I've seen, okay? But notice back in verse 18 that it says, will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. See, it's supposed to be two parents raising one kid, not just one parent raising one kid. And if you remember the article earlier, it said that they split up before when she was just an infant. And you wonder why she becomes a little monster. It's because there's supposed to be two parents in the home. And I guarantee you, if that dad was in the home, if he had any guts, he wouldn't let his kid hit the mother, okay? And when it says in Matthew, it says, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's not just because it helps the people that are in the relationship, but it also helps their kids later on the road. And I had someone try to justify to me that adultery was okay in the Old Testament for whatever reason, okay? How can you say that when it says, but from the beginning, it was not so, okay? That doesn't make any sense. Adultery was never okay. They said just for any uncleanness. For any uncleanness, adultery was okay. So every time of the month, the girl gets her thing of the time of the month, you're going to be able to divorce your wife? That doesn't make any sense. Anyways, keep going on. It says, I'm reading off my notes, sorry. In verse 21, notice that too, that it says, and all Israel shall hear and fear. See, the purpose of this was not just to cause the most painful death ever. It was to make sure that every other kid, every other son and daughter obeyed their parents, because they didn't want to end up like that. It was supposed to be an example. That's the real reason for it. And that's a great example, because if any of those rotten little kids got stoned today for hitting their mom and dad, I guarantee you that there'd be a lot less kids hitting their mom and dad. And I'm not talking like a 3-year-old, okay? That's a child, or like a little infant, first of all. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when they're of age and they know the difference between right and wrong. That's what God was talking about too, okay? So don't twist that. So, and the next generation would have a lot more respect. And I guarantee you nobody would go on national TV telling everybody how they hit their mom, okay? And then make $1 million for it. That's the America we live in. But what scumbag person hits their kid in the first place, okay? Or hits their parent in the first place? The mom that held you in her stomach for 9 months and then changed your diapers and fed you and gave you your clothes and raised you your whole life, and you're going to turn around and hit your parent? That's why God says you're worthy of death, because that's disgusting. That's terrible. So parents, how do you not let your kids end up like this? And that's how I'll wrap this up. In Deuteronomy 4:9, going back there, it said, only take heed thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day thou sittest before the Lord, thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. But notice right there, the context of this is Moses is basically writing his last kind of instructions to the Israelites, if you will, and before they go into the promised land. And what he's telling them, he emphasizes it twice. At the end of verse 9, it says, but teach them thy sons and my son's sons, okay? And at the end of verse 10, it says that they may teach their children. The way you make your kid not end up like a spoiled monster who's worthy of death is that you teach them the word of God at a young age. You teach them God's law at a young age. And this is the theme throughout the whole Bible. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Parents, teach your kids the Bible. Teach them the songs. Teach them the hymns. Teach them the spiritual songs. Teach them the laws. Teach them what the Bible actually says, and they won't end up like a little monster, okay? And also, parents, spank your kids. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't have the verse in front of me, but you're supposed to beat them with a rod is what it says, okay? Dr. Phil, I saw this thing on YouTube, and I don't watch
Dr. Phil, by the way. It was a popular meme, and I remember being, this girl said, catch me outside, and I was like, what is this talking about? And I looked it up on YouTube, and that's how I found it. So don't try to get me for watching Dr. Phil. But he said, this is an example, because he said that spanking your kids doesn't work. So, you know, I'm losing my thought. But anyways, he said that spanking your kids doesn't work. So what he did is he had a woman from the audience who thought that you should spank your kids. And he said, smack me on the hand as hard as you can. And then she smacked him like a little bit or whatever on the hand. And he said, see, that doesn't even really work with your kids. But the reason why, he's like, because you're only like a 120-pound girl. How are you going to inflict pain on a kid? Well, that's why you use the rod, okay? Not your hand. He should have got a rod and hit it with a hand. I bet he would have went, ouch. Okay? But anyways, to wrap this all up, parents, if you want to avoid your kids being little wicked brats worthy of death, stay together as parents. Don't split up. Don't commit adultery. Don't leave each other. Stay together for your kids and for your own sakes. And teach them the Bible at a young age. Spank them and love your kids. And that's how you will end up having a great kid. A kid that, you know, it says that if you, let me find that verse. If you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if you teach them young, they'll end up like great kids, okay? So, and that girl should be put to death, okay? Let me end on that note, too. That girl is a wicked girl, and she should be stoned with stones, is what the Bible says. And there's nothing you're going to show me in the Bible that's going to change my mind, because it never does away with that commandment. Let's pray. Dear Father God, I thank you for this wonderful day. God, I pray that my sermon that I gave would be edifying, God, and that we wouldn't have a bunch of little monsters in this room, God, but we'd have kids that love you and serve you, and we'd have parents that would love their kids, and that they would raise them up in a correct way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.